Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Daja, what up? Let's go. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Everybody, and welcome to Geek Enders. We're in September now. It is September the 4th.
Wake me up.
I know.
Do you remember? Why are there so many September songs?
I don't know. It's a great question. It's gonna be May. Although that wasn't actually a May song. We just turned it into a May song.
Yeah. I blame Justin Timberlake for that.
You think it's his fault?
Yeah,
he was the original memer of that song. Mm-hmm. The whole time he was singing it in the booth, he was like, "Guys, it's gonna sound like we're saying the month of May."
Yeah, he's like, "It's gonna be hilarious."
We are doing this show early again because Jessup is still out of town.
You can tell I'm out of town because the cup's here because of this bullshit. This might be the most like I never, it's so weird to be like, you know, my proudest American moment is I can take these sons of bitches off. But when you go overseas,
so many Americans feel that way.
It's convenient, I guess, but
it's not, because it scratches your mouth. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
It's, I assume, to help with small plastic things not just being left all over the place, because it is.
Oh, yes. It's probably societally helpful, but it's very anti-American. Societal help is the most anti-American thing you can do, to be honest.
You know, what's wild is I've been here long enough that I keep forgetting that in America, you guys don't do that.
We do not.
Got it. Lids.
Someone put
all
a flag behind
place.
Me. Put a flag behind me. Like, no, we don't. Yeah.
Absolutely. Before we started the show, we were having a neuroplasticity conversation, I guess. We were talking about brains.
We were. Yeah.
Yeah. And the question was posed, and then we immediately veered, which is kind of standard. But the question was posed of, if you knew that it would lower the possibility that you would develop dementia, what would you force yourself to memorize? This, by the way, is because apparently taxi drivers who memorize every street in a town have really low dementia rates. So we were like,
if you all need to know before the show starts, we sit here and talk, and it's not like goofs. We're like, did you hear about this
I was reading an article the other day. literally a quote that Jesse said while we were talking. I was reading an article, and did you know they were saying?
I like people to think that this is us. It's all fake. We play extra stupid on camera.
But we're actually like full academics.
Yes, we have research papers under pseudonyms. We work for the federal government doing studies on, well, one of them. We're not saying which. One of the governments.
That's true. Mm-hmm. A government.
Yeah, China. Mm-hmm. Wink. And we are... this podcast is sponsored by the Chinese government, guys. Come on now. They saw Brother Beard and Sister Soup and said, get
those
them.
Guys. Yeah.
Get them.
Mm-hmm. Those idiots. But then they brought us in and realized we're smart.
Right. At least that's what they told us. They kept saying how smart we were and how much they needed our help. And we were like, oh my God, stop
Wait
it.
Wait a minute.
What? Were they? Did I get honeypotted?
Surely not.
There's no way I married that woman who has had a job at the Chinese Communist Party. And we fell in love like in 2 days, and then I got a house with her, and she just happened to have a bunch of money. Like, I wasn't honeypotted, was I?
Oh, no. No, I'm sure it's real. I'm sure that's true love.
She sleeps in a separate room.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. She just likes her space.
It is for me. I'm trying to hit. So dumb. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome to the show, everybody. And now you understand why we didn't get very far in the conversation of what would you memorize if you thought that it would improve your brain.
I'm going to be a little loopy today, I must stress. Okay. Last night, the Chilluminati guys were like, hey, we need to change the time we're going to record. I'm like, okay. So for me, it was midnight, and they wanted to do it last night.
Oh.
And the episode took nearly 4 hours.
No. Oh, buddy. You must have been so eepy.
Boop, beep. Yeah. So I'm running empty. Food review.
Were you out of town during the... I just listened to the episode where Fasciani hyperfixated on GTA 5 for a really long time.
No, I was in town.
You seemed very tired for that whole episode. I kept expecting you to interject with more like, what the fuck are you talking about? But you just kind of let it wash over you.
I like... So that whole episode was a what the fuck are you talking about episode. But it was also Alex talking about like weird... things that are like video games or that are movies he likes, and I was like, yeah, go for it, bud. You do you. This hurts no one. It's just like, were you aware of the Mount Chiliad mystery in GTA 5? And I was like, I am. Please tell us about this thing that isn't real on any level but is very fun. So like, all right, have fun. Yeah, you'll notice sometimes I give in.
Yeah.
That was not the case last night. Last night was about the grandfather of conspiracy theories, and I had a lot
that's
of
a
questions.
Guy that's a that's
oh
a
it's a guy. It apparently is a dude that all major conspiracy theories can be traced back to. So I love thoughts.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Yeah,
I had Sam trapped in the car when we were taking our kid to school yesterday. He was trapped in the car. Okay. And I put on Chilluminati.
So, it's a way to say that.
Yeah, he was trapped in the car and I put on Chilluminati, and he, for a minute there, was not really paying attention. And then, like, you know when something's on the TV and you keep overhearing weird little bits and you're like, what the fuck are you listening to? Mm-hmm. I put Chilluminati on and he finally just turned his phone off because he was like, I don't. What the fuck are they talking about? And I was like, it's about weird shit that is in GTA 5, a game I've never played. But I love these boys. Those of you who've never listened to them talk about anything.
Yeah. For those of you who've never played Grand Theft Auto 5, in the first initial trailers, they kept showing this mountain. You can go look it up. It's crazy. Like in the background, there'd be a mountain and a weird shack on top of the mountain. And they kept focusing the camera. Sure, there'd be foreground action, but in the background is this damn mountain. And everyone was like, that's so weird. So when the game finally came out, everyone wanted to get up to the top of the mountain and check out the mountain. And what ends up happening is when you get to the top of that mountain, there is a shack, and then there is like red paint and a hidden message. And then throughout the game are hidden markers related to that mountain. In fact, there's a message that says like something along the lines of when you complete the story, come back. So everyone went on this massive, crazy hunt for whatever it meant. And that's kind of what the episode's about. And it's very clearly they intentionally wanted to do it because they showed it in the trailer. It was like a focus of, hey, go look at that.
Yeah, they, so, they showed that exact spot like multiple times in the trailer.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty neat when companies do kind of fun stuff like that. It is why I like Remedy games. It is why I like games that have sort of a weird, like, yeah, what's that? What is that about? It's even games like when Battlefield was doing it, when games that have no reason to do that throw in a little. Look, I've said this about 8 trillion times on 8 million podcasts, but I think it genuinely goes back to that conversation. I feel like every dev was in the room for that. But that GDC talk years ago where the Dead Space guys were talking about how they learned to add mystery to their game, which was if you have a cutscene before the level, have 3 tanks in that cutscene, one drives off, and then only put 2 tanks in the level. For years, people will wonder what happened to that third tank. And it's that simple. You give people like a little thing and they freak out trying to solve it. And I think that's also part of what made Elden Ring successful, is that most of that game is mystery and not knowing what the hell you're doing and having to deep dive and research. And like the first time, I think about this all the time, the first time I found the big goopy face at the bottom of the castle, anyone who's like, if you, the very first, like, oh boy, I don't remember any names, to be honest. I want to say Lindell, but that doesn't seem right. I could be wrong. Chat will know. But you can run through the castle, you know, all sorts of stuff, but I was goofing and fell so far, I thought, like, well, I'm dead. And you end up in sort of like this underground place, and there is a face kind of gooped up against the wall. And that is, if you like deep dive, like, that's important lore stuff. But you never would have found that if you were just trying to play the game and not explore everything. And so, yeah, that kind of thing, that's amazing. I love that stuff. I think that's what makes games fun.
For sure. Stuff that didn't need to be put in the game, but the devs did because they wanted to add that element of mystery. But also, I'm sure, like, looking at it from the perspective of the devs, it's also just fun for them, right, to include that sort of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine you spend every day adding a few things here and there, and you're just like, okay. Right, and so it makes it fun. And I think, you know, that's also, to this day, you have people like Crendor who will go through World of Warcraft and find those things that devs add that like 8 people actually look for over the course of a game's life. The amount of people that don't look up or down in games is crazy.
Yeah.
I often think about how when I go to events and I play a game, I like look at the skybox. I like look at, and you can see the devs almost be like, he's doing it.
And he's looking up.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people miss out on a lot of cool stuff. I mean, especially in some games, you look up and it's like the ceiling was a spoiler for the entire story the entire time. Like the fresco on the ceiling was the story. What do you mean? You know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Last week, you couldn't really tell us anything about why you were in Europe.
Still can't.
Okay, sick.
Still can't. But eventually, eventually I can. Yeah, I do this all the time. Every time there's a game I'm really excited for, thankfully I've scheduled most of September and October to not travel. But most of the time when I travel, a game I want to play comes out. And so Dawnwalker just came out and I really want to play it. It's an RPG. You know, those things take forever. And I'm like, guess I'll play it when I get home. So I've been like living vicariously through everyone doing their things and playing games online. And like, I want to play Star Wars Zero Company really bad. I want to make a whole group of droids and just droid it up. I thought that'd be
helpful. Yeah.
No, can't. Literally the only game I'm currently playing. Well, first off, oh man. I went to a, I don't know the name of it, but you know how you'll see on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, or just an ad maybe on the side of a webpage for like the interactive fun zone, kind of like that place you and I went to in Boston.
Yeah.
Except it's more laser based is the best way to describe it. But it's, you know, you'll see like the floor and you have to jump between the squares or avoid the laser things.
Yeah.
That's what this was.
Okay.
And it was, every room was a real life video game kind of thing. Like one was shooting, one was, you know, like an arcadey basketball thing. One was follow the sequences. One was you literally have to jump through lasers like a damn spy. I'm going to tell you, that's the one I could not do. I, at one point, the lasers were moving like this.
Yeah.
And you it was just like a video game. You had to get through it. But I realized I know Lara Croft. It's not, okay. It's not. When I did the baby crawl under one, I was like, all right, I can do that. But then there was one where it was like a laser was here, a laser was here, and you literally had to like jump through. And I was like, brother, I'm not beating this level. That's not happening. And then they had ones where you had to like imagine you're playing Space Invaders, but it's on the floor and your feet, you're the one mashing the missiles. And that was pretty fun. There's a lot of cool stuff like that. I enjoyed it a great deal. Most of it was pretty easy, except this one game that was like, follow along. So you stood at a terminal, and then all the other players stood with you, and you had a screen in front of you. And on you had foot pads. Imagine like a glorified DDR pad underneath you. And then a controller in front of you. And the controller had screens around it, and then in the middle had up, down, left, right. And on the screen in front of you, it would flash either, you know, like up, left, down. So you'd be like up, left, down, right? And then the next thing would pop up and it would be like jump 5 times. You have to jump on the pad 5 times. And then it would be like run in place. You have to run in place and charge up your meter. And then it would be like, okay, now. And it would show you colors. You have to press the right color.
Okay.
Fine. Easy. Eventually, the colors would be a mix of 3 colors, and it would give you 8 variations of the mix of 3 colors. I was like, son of a bitch. And then the pad would be like, it'd be like up, down, right, except you had 2 seconds to do it. And I was like, ugh! And then the run one, it was increasing the amount you had to run and the time would lower. And then the jump one was, it was like more jumps, bitch. And it kept getting worse and worse. I was so gross and sweaty after that. I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and use every towel there to wipe down because holy crap. Like it was, everything scored.
Though.
It was very cool. Everything is scored and you were just competing against strangers. And I was like, I will do everything I can to beat them. I swear to God, I will keep playing. When we were done, we were the only people left in there. All the other competition had left for the day. And so technically we won, but they, like, I don't know what the final scores were because everyone else just left. We were like, oh, okay.
Fine.
Well, good job, everyone. We did it. Yeah. No. But the fun part is you could earn points. I thought this was hilarious, by the way. The top prize at 5,000 points. To give you an example, I think like an hour and a half-ish, I got 69 points, which, nice. But the top prize is 5,000 points.
Okay.
Gets you a PlayStation 5. And I just want to say for the record, I think it's hilarious that it's like, work out to get a PS5 so you don't have to work out anymore.
Absolutely.
But all the prizes were stickers. And I guess this is a thing that's all over the world because they have location-based stickers.
Mm.
And so you can get like, oh, I got a sticker for this place and this place. T-shirts. I got a water bottle because I was like, no, I'm so sorry. I think it started with an A, like activate. Maybe that's what it's called. But I got a water bottle because it was like 60, I think. You could get all sorts of crazy stuff. And you could get your own wristband if you like wanted to keep going back there. Get your own wristband.
The active gaming experience?
I think that's what it is, yeah. It's pretty cool. I enjoyed it a great deal. Again, I was only there for like an hour and a half, but like, it was great. Also, it was very funny because my the watch my dad gave me because he didn't want it, gives you a lot of like, oh, do you want updates on your health and things like that? Which is lovely. Big fan. Yeah. But yeah, while I was using it at that event, at that space, it, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes in, was like, good work, keep it up. And then 40 minutes in, it was like, wow, you're doing a lot of activity. And then at like hour 20, it was like, are you okay? Is everything fine?
Please sit down.
It's like, your heart rate's been increased for a long time. What is going on? This is not normal. And I was like, I'm not sure what that says about me. That's probably not good. So yeah, it was, but I had a great time. It was actually fun to get out and do that. Yeah. That was nice.
You nailed the name. It is called Activate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got them everywhere. There's a ton of them all over the place. That's crazy.
Yeah. It was very fun, but it's, I knew that I was going to enjoy it because it isn't just the like jump around, be a goof. They have like a gun shooting one. They had one where there was a screen, there was a giant screen in front of you. And it was, it's not just like activity. It's also mind stuff. They really try to like, so there was a screen in front of you and there were a bunch of numbers on the screen and you had like 100 balls. And what you do, you take a ball and you, from lowest to highest, have to hit the right numbers. And if you missed, they would reshuffle all the damn numbers. So you had to like hit the right numbers. And then as it went on, it would start for like, it would be like 1, 2, 3, 4, right? But then it started doing 0, 1, 2. And you're like, oh, there's 0 now. Okay. And then it removed the 0 and it'd be like 1, 3, 5, 8. And so you have to figure it out. And eventually it'd be like up to 40. And you're like, oh my God. And the timer's ticking down. So you just have to like look around and figure out and throw it and hopefully hit the damn thing. My arm, I was so unwilling to accept that I couldn't beat level 3 of that because I was like, come on. We're level 14. We always get to level 4. Like, that's what we do. That I just kept throwing, and my arm hurt so bad the next day. I was like, oh, I'm no pitcher. But
oof,
we did pretty good. So, yeah.
Nice. It sounds very fun.
Yeah, there's good stuff.
A ton of them in England, so I'm probably going to see if there's one.
I think you would enjoy. Grab Sam,
it
go.
Really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was.
Was it mostly like, I guess, could we bring Clark? Or is it for...
Oh, 100%. Yes. Oh, okay. Clark would probably kill it, some of those games. It is, it's... Imagine, so you go into this place, you get your wristband. The wristband is coded to one person's email. Then everyone else is added onto it. So one person gives them their email, and then that's how they save the information. So the next time you go or whatever, and you go into this giant... Imagine... It's kind of like the pregame of laser tag back in the day, where you sit outside, they register everyone's name, and then they open the doors, and you like go through like a light tunnel. Yeah, you go through a light tunnel, and then you're in kind of a back rooms-esque, but it's all black and like neon and stuff, where there's multiple little rooms. And if no one's in those rooms, you can use them. So one room will be like, oh, that's the fun ball room. And one room will be like, oh, that's the laser grid room. And one room be like, oh, that's where the floor lights up room. And then each room has 6 cooperative games and 3 competitive games, I think.
Oh, okay.
And so you can select them and do the question mark and be like, what is this game? How does this work? Then you collect the next one. It's like, oh, what is this thing? How does this work? But you can only earn points doing cooperative stuff. So you can't like cheat and have someone dominate everyone and win all the points. It's literally just like the competitive is for whatever. The cooperatives is everyone works together and you try to, you know, solve whatever it is you're trying to do. Like one of the games literally is a very small room with 6 pictures and it's spot the difference. And each picture has one different thing. So you have to find the thing that's different and then use that one as you're like, okay, well, I got the one difference. So that's our frame of reference now. And you have to figure out what's going on. And there's a timer ticking down. It's like, it isn't just all run around like a crazy person active. There's a lot of mind ones too, but you still have to move from place to place and figure stuff out. And then, you know, they have a little chill out area. You can get drinks. You can hang out. It seems like there's a party room. You know what I mean? It definitely kids can hang there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a delight. I was pleasantly surprised. I was expecting, I was expecting kind of a gimmick based on all the stuff I'd seen on social media where it seemed like, wow, dodge out of the way of lasers. But like, that's what it is. You are literally, the lasers are, you are doing like Entrapment or whatever that movie is where she like snakes through the lasers and it's like extra sexy, except you're not sexy. You are rolling around like an idiot trying to figure out what to do. So
yeah,
that's pretty much what it is. And it was great.
It sounds fun. It sounds so cute. Mm-hmm. You're right. It reminds me a lot of what we did. Where was that?
Seattle? Some Beetleborg, Bjorg? What was that place called?
Yeah. Bottlebjorg. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a different vibe. It wasn't, it didn't seem like you were in the Matrix. You know what I mean? Each room was a different experience. Like one, yes. I remember you and I had to, there was one where we had to break out of a prison.
Yes.
And that was fun. There was one where we had to get across like alligator infested waters. And we had to swing on ropes and stuff.
Yeah. Each one had like a thing on it that denoted if, when you walked in, is it going to be a more physical experience or a mental experience? And it like went up in difficulty. Yeah. And the alligator one, I remember us walking into and being like, okay, this is the limit physically for us.
Yes. It was because basically it was a bunch of little pads and you had to balance your way across, but everyone had to be across the pads as time is ticking down. So it's literally like hanging on for dear life and jumping and hoping you make it. Oh yeah. We did though. We nailed every single one of those. Yes.
Yeah.
That was a good time. Shout out to wherever that is in Boston. That was lovely.
Was it Boston? God, why did I think that was Boston? That was Seattle.
No, because Sam was there, right? Sam was with us then, and that was Boston.
Was Sam?
That's the episode where we did go-karts.
Oh my god. All the Geekenders episodes really blend together. Sorry, Geekenders other life.
The other life. Seattle was the one where you and I went around looking for Little Woody to get a chicken sandwich.
Yes.
And then I also met with the guy who was one of the heads at Marvel. And it was when I was still really hype on Marvel and I kept grilling him about like if they would end up doing the Infinity Gauntlet as a movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you going to do it though? Are you going to? He's like, I don't know. I was like, you better do it, bro. And everyone, there better be two movies. And that one, like half the population has to die. I'm telling you right now, if they don't do that, that. And when I watched the movie, I was like, I think I helped make this.
Ah, he listened to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you're welcome, world, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah. Jesse did that for you. You're welcome.
Endgame wasn't me, but like the, clearly that 25-year-old story, I did a lot to make that happen.
You know, have you watched Lanterns at all yet?
I have. I love it. Doctor, yeah? I don't know what's going on
really
right
good.
Now.
Good.
It's good. It's good. I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not going to talk about any of the plot. I will simply say I was not expecting a like True Detective-esque show.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
You have my attention.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, because you know me, I love when it's a mystery. And yeah, episode one is a mystery and then it ends in a like, what? And so, yeah, very cool.
Oh, cool.
I'm very impressed with it. It's, and they also are doing a thing in the show where, and this is for those of you who watch episode one and there's like a flashback moment and you're thinking, is that all the backstory we're going to get of that character? No, they're doing that thing where they reveal little bits over time.
Right.
Oh, I love it.
Like Lost.
Yes. I'm very impressed with it. I was not expecting it. I was honestly expecting like, all right, let's get green and you know, a little campy. Thanks, Ryan Reynolds. I was expecting a little campy. Not at all. It's like pretty grounded and for a bunch of space cops, it's pretty grounded, which I was like, what a fun take on this. I imagine that's because you only have so much budget. So they tried to come up with a creative way, and they did. I'm enjoying it. Again, it could go any direction. Like, I feel like I've been eating pretty good on TV shows. I just got done watching Spider-Noir, watched it in black and white. It's Nick Cage, loved every minute of it.
Oh,
the ending kind of goes off the rails, which, you know, most superhero things do, or by the time they get to the end, it's like, okay. And so who knows what will happen with Lanterns. But I was pretty impressed. And then I got a new season of Reacher, Dodger. Oh, my God.
Oh, Reacher.
I'm eating so good. Yes. Yes. And I don't even want to spoil Reacher, but there was a moment and I was like, nah, that girl's too hot to be nice. She's too hot not to be a bad guy. Like, that's where I was like, mm-mm, I don't trust that girl. She's too attractive. That's a villain. Yeah. Oh. It's good. It's good. Everything's great.
Reacher's fun. Yeah. I wasn't totally sold on it at first, but I enjoy watching it. I also enjoy that I don't have to watch it in order.
Oh, sure.
It's just kind of watch a Reacher episode.
Yeah, they're based off books where, like, if you know the initial premise of he's a man who travels around and is like, I'm off the grid and I'm just a big, tough, sexy hunk who beats the shit out of people. I don't give a damn. Then you're fine. There's nothing else going on. And you get to live your weird male fantasy of like, yeah, beat up bad guys, Reacher. That's it. And you're like, yeah, that's cool as shit.
Yeah. It's very good.
I'm a big fan. Although, from what I recall of the books, he's not supposed to be, like, even remotely attractive. Just a big, like, lug. Which I would honestly... Like, because Tom Cruise was not... Mm. Like, Tom Cruise made Reacher movies. He made two of them.
Oh, my God. That's right. I forgot about that.
But he didn't look like Tom Cruise. I would say, like, you know, the current Reacher looks a little more Reacher-esque. But as far as I recall, he's supposed to be just, like, a big goon.
Just a big dude. So, yeah.
Yeah, like, all right, that's fine. You gotta give something for the ladies. That's why every season he takes his shirt off at least once. Mm. And it's like the longest scene in the episode. Most of the scenes are pretty like, we're moving. And then we hit the shirt off scene and it's like, this woman he just met, some reason she needs to take his shirt off. Oh, he got a cut, shirt coming off. Oh no, his shirt's off. They're having sex. Like, that is every season. There's at least one moment of that. It's like usually episode three or four, and you're like, all right, let's get it over with. The people know what they
we
want.
We get it. We know what's happening here.
Yeah. We know. We get it. Yeah. And then back to beating up guys who are like, I'm the CIA. And he's like, punch. No, you're not. It's like, yeah. It's great.
There were all of these pictures that were going around of that actor wearing or talking about like sort of anti-cop sort of sentiments. And and a bunch of people were responding being like, ugh, can't believe a guy like this is playing Reacher. And then the responses to those would be like, I don't think, you know, do you watch the show?
So, man, literally this current season, he has knocked out more FBI and CIA agents than like constantly punching and kicking. There is the four guys who are chasing him. He assaults them regularly per episode. And they're like, where were the government? And he's like, punch. Like, come on now.
It's so funny. It's so funny. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't think you watch. I don't think you know what that is.
I don't know the character, unfortunately. I'm so sorry.
I think that's unfortunately a problem with the social, like the social media ecosystem of like, well, I see enough memes, so I feel like I know the character.
Yeah.
And it's like, it happens a lot with comics.
That's
and
a red-blooded conservative American man. And he aligns with my values. I know it.
Yeah. I don't know. That man beats up a lot of people. I think that's it, you know, going back to Lanterns, a lot of people were like, well, I don't like this. They're making this character way too gritty of a character. He's not the Hal Jordan I remember. Right. It's like, yeah, that's because you're thinking of freaking, you know, the movie Hal Jordan. It's like, hey everybody, I'm zany.
Yeah
like, come on now.
I'll have to watch it. How many? There's, what, three episodes? Four episodes?
I think three episodes out now. If there's four, I have not seen four yet. But I think they come out Sundays, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
It's HBO, so. It's not TV. It's HBO.
It's HBO. Sam and I have been watching a... Did I talk about this already? The Korean crime show that Sam and I have been watching?
You most certainly didn't tell me.
Okay, so there's a show that Sam and I have been watching called Beyond Evil. It won a bunch of awards when it came out in Korea. And it's about a murder that happens in this small town. And you go forward like 20 years and a copycat murder happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the police in this small town trying to figure out what's going on. But more specifically, it's about two cops, one of which is an older man who was the brother of the girl who was murdered 20 years ago. And he was blamed for the murder, but was released and became a cop. And the other one is like the commissioner's son, you know, like perfect straight A student cop who is convinced that guy number one was the murderer and got away. And so it's the two of them like trying to solve what's going on, but at the same time, they don't trust each other at all. So this show is, I think, like 16 episodes. Each episode is an hour long. And there was a point early
on. Somehow longer than all of the Sherlock BBC episodes.
Right.
Somehow.
Crazy. So there was a point early on, like maybe like three or four episodes in, where Sam and I looked at each other and we were like, okay, at the halfway point, we really need XYZ to happen, right? Because that format works, but with 16 hour long episodes, it's like, okay, but this is gonna get tiring, right? Like there needs to be progress, not only in the case but also in the relationships that are developing here, because if things don't change in the dynamics between people, it's just every episode's gonna feel the same. So as vaguely as possible, I will say we hit the halfway point on this show and we were like, everything's making sense now. Because literally an episode, this happens so often and it's always so nice when it does. When you hit an episode and you're like, I'm about to fucking give up on this shit because nothing's making sense. Why are these people doing XYZ thing? This is annoying the shit out of me. And I better start getting some answers. And then you hit the episode where you start getting some answers and you're like, I'm back in.
I'm back in.
You got me right to the edge, right when I was like, I don't know if I believe in this show anymore. And then they give you exactly what you needed to be like, okay. Okay, I'm back.
So nice. Yes, that is my favorite thing in media when I'm confused or questioning what I'm watching. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then they kind of are like, thanks for the patience. Here you go.
You're yes. Like,
oh! I love that feeling. It is great. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because you can really be convinced that the writing has slipped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You can like the way that a show like that can progress, you can reach the point, you can reach an episode where you're like, the way that people are behaving is not making any fucking sense. And you start to question, like, is it a writing problem or is it on purpose? And you're right, when you're patient enough with it to find out, like, it was on purpose. I love that. It's so nice.
The problem is a lot of the times it's not. A lot of the time you think you're going to get a reveal and then it just sucks. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
I wasted my time.
Oh,
cool.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine then,
which,
I guess.
Hello, Netflix. Hi.
Oh God. Yeah. I do feel for when a fandom gets really big. I think we both probably saw this with most recently with like Amazing Digital Circus, right?
Oh,
when
sure.
A fandom gets big enough that people have speculated in such intense ways about where the story is going that you know, it's just like, I don't even know what to expect anymore because I've ingested too many ideas from other people of where it could potentially go. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I the best thing I can equate it to is the Imagine Digital Circus, like speed ran the Lost phenomenon, like Lost. If you yes. watch the entirety of Lost, the ending, a lot of people were really upset because it wasn't what they wanted from the years they invested in the mystery of Lost. Yeah. And Amazing Digital Circus just speed ran that. It was this mystery of what's going on. And then the ending, they were like, all right, here's some answers. And people were like, but that's not the answers that I wanted you to give me. And it's like, right. well, that's what you got, man.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah,
going into it, I was like, this is what's going to happen. All the clues are there. And it's exactly what happened. Like, yeah. exactly what happened. It's like, it's not that hard to figure this one out. I think people just imprinted a lot of what they wanted, like you said, on that show. Yes. And when they didn't get it, they were really upset.
And I also think sometimes a show is created with the intention of exploring something that's more like emotional or character driven. And when a community is given enough time to like sit around and speculate, they slowly drift further and further away from that. And they stop thinking about like, well, what has the show been building so far? What are the themes so far? And instead they'll be like, what if this person is secretly a demon? You know? Like, and it's like, that would be interesting, but does that serve the show? Does that serve what story this person is trying to tell? I think we're just given so much space to breathe between episodes or seasons or whatever it winds up being that you stop thinking about like what the creator was intending by making it in the first place.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I mean, like, it's a double-edged sword. You have a fandom that's committed and loves it and wants more of it and are buying all your merch and are talking about all your stuff and is deeply invested. Yeah. And, you know, you're not going to please all of them. It's every single time any fandom has ever existed. You can't please them all. And then you're going to have a lot of people, like, complaining online. And, I mean, what are you going to do? Speaking of fandom,
yes,
I'm out of a fandom, so I had no knowledge of this, but I took a little trip detour and I went and spent a day in London. I was very close to you, but unfortunately I had another goal. I went, met our good boy Rupert, got a few pints, worked out some stuff for the game. Everything's looking lovely. But more importantly, that night, our dear boy Alfano, our dear sweet
yes! Colin. Oh my gosh, I saw your pictures. Sorry, keep talking.
Our dear sweet boy Alfano, I love him to tears. And he is a stage actor. And so he's been in all sorts of, productions that have been in London. But I had to go see this one because he is currently in Death Note, the musical.
Yeah, crazy.
And I'm that person. Remember I was talking about people that know things through memes? I'm that person for Death Note. I know nothing about Death Note except through memes. And let me tell you, I would never get online and tell you what Death Note should or shouldn't be. Just letting you know. Anyway, I had no clue, but I know enough to be like, well, I want to go see this.
Yeah.
And so I went and saw Death Note, the musical. Yo, if you're in London, I think it runs through the middle of September. If you have the chance, go see this. I thought it was going to be campy as hell. It was awesome. I was like, oh shit. It was a spectacle. You know, those musicals that are like, we put money into this. It's very like phantom stuff's moving. The stage is moving things. I was like, brother, what? Colin plays L, and right. I don't know what his character's supposed to be in the, I assume, manga and anime. I don't know what it's supposed to be. But the musical, he basically is like every psychotic gamer nerd you've ever seen. Like a dude in his room who stirs tea and he like has 8,000 computers, and he wears pajamas the entire time, and he looks a complete mess, and his eyes are constantly baggy, and I was like, holy
That's him. That's the character, yeah.
And he has an American accent, which I love. I was like, Colin? I was like, you can do that. Actors, what can't they do?
No, they're all so talented, but, God.
But yeah, but like all the characters, all the actors were like killing it singing, which I was very impressed with because, you know, most of the songs were, you know, Death Note oriented songs. And I was like, well, how do you make that rock? And they did. And yeah, it was, I feel like, again, I don't know anything about it, but I know it was a long running thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like they condensed the story because it ends, like there is an ending. And I feel like they condensed the story because after it was done, I went to go look. I was like, well, how does it end in the show? It is not. That's not similar at all. But I think they rounded off the story to make it a little more. We can put it into a 2-hour thing.
Right.
And
that makes sense.
And at least what I saw, having no previous knowledge, I was like, yeah, no, all that makes sense to me of the way that story ends. I was like, you're going to have to tell a version of this in 2 hours. That makes sense to me. Yeah, I had no idea there was some girl named Misa who, like, was also Death Note-y. I had no clue about any of this. I was like, okay. I'm sitting there in the middle of the damn thing, like, all right, yeah, okay. I did not know that. I was unaware that that is, yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, wait a minute. So that, well, does the chief of police know? I was like, wait a minute. Hold on now. Oh, yeah, it was great. But the sets. That's
so fun.
They had, a moving, I don't want to say walkway, but like a circular movement bit, but it was just one little strip that they would use constantly to like move characters around to make it look like someone was walking through a city and then like people were passing them. And I was like, this is so creative. They used a lot of screens up above you. So anyone who sat in like the first couple rows, rip, I guess you probably didn't see that. But they had all these screens up above that were so like, news reports and social media and things of like, oh yeah, no, we're so excited that this guy is out there killing bad people. And then the background was always like almost always raining Tokyo. And then whenever they would go to like a police station, they'd bring out these two sets and they'd roll up the window so it looked like you were looking into an office building of the police. It was
how cool. Like there
was
so clever.
It was cool as shit. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is fun. Yeah, and then they had a giant thing up above that would lower and raise, and sometimes the Shinigami, whatever the gods are, they would appear up there and be like, oh, these humans are crazy as shit, right?
Oh,
and
then they cute. Would, that's fun.
Yeah, and I don't know. Sorry, the guy who is the big monster guy, the one god.
Ryuk.
Yeah, Ryuk, thank you. I was not aware of his love for apples. And they play that for comedy and it lands every time. Every time it lands.
It is mentioned often in the manga and the anime.
there is one bit where I guess, I don't know if this is in the story, but they end up at the same school where like L is chasing Light at a school.
Yeah.
And they're like in this school and they become friends and they're like, there's one musical number where they play tennis. And it is crazy watching this on the stage.
That is a classic scene.
Yes. And so you're watching that. But anyway, during this big musical number where it's them meeting for the first time and being like, I'm going to tell him that I'm the guy who's hunting him, right? They do this whole thing. And in the background, at the school, there's a big apple tree, right? And when the musical number ends, Ryuk goes back to the apple tree. And in like a split second, I don't know how they did this. God bless stage tech. Picks all of the apples at once. So the tree's bare. And then he turns around, he has a huge bunch of apples and he's like, I'm gonna like it here. And I was like, how they do that? How they make that? I was very impressed. I loved if you can't tell, I was so impressed with this. And I was like, this is the stupidest. I was like, this would be the stupidest thing, but no, it's great. What are you doing? What is happening?
One of the turkeys is in here and I was trying to figure out if I could show him to you. It's just gonna be annoying to try to get the microphone or the camera back in the right spot. Oh, he's leaving. Yeah.
You know, I forget sometimes that you exist in a different world. Not often are you online with one of your friends and they go, oh, sorry, the turkey got in.
It's the babies. The baby turkeys have started exploring more. So almost every time we go outside, one of them is squatting on top of a car. And two of them have started coming up the stairs. Oh, there he goes. Two of them have started coming up the stairs and walking into my office. But normally they immediately turn around and leave. They're like,
do baby turkeys have a name?
We call them turklings. I have no idea what they're actually called.
Yeah, like cluckers. No, that's chicken. Wobblers. Warblers.
Good.
Yeah, little wobblers. There's got to be a name for baby turkeys. I don't know what that would be. But I'm like chickens have so many names. They got so many. Chickens got so many names. Turkeys are like, nah, it's a turkey. That seems unfair.
To answer chat's question, it is still very warm here. It's raining, which is great. It's raining constantly, but it is still warm. So I'm still just leaving stuff open all the time to get some airflow.
By the way, yes. People are curious about, you know, the state of the world and how good we're doing. I went to go look at the weather for Los Angeles and I was like, well, when I get home, I wonder what the weather's going to be like. Off the coast of Baja right now is a hurricane. But wait, I scrolled further out into the ocean, another hurricane. Wait, scrolled further out into the ocean, a third hurricane in the Pacific. I just want to point that out.
What the fuck?
Everything's fine. The planet's fine. Everything's good. Don't worry about it. Stocks must go up. Line go up for the shareholders.
Oh my God.
I was like, what do you mean? Three hurricanes in the Pacific. It's I looked at the globe satellite array thing and just kept scrolling like, what the shit?
That's so scary, man. I was talking with one of the moms. We were doing the classic, like, how was your summer? Oh my gosh, did you go anywhere fun? Mm-hmm. And one of the moms said that she went to Bali. And I was like, oh, that must have been so fun. And she was like, it was the exact same temperature in Bali as it was in England for the whole time we were there. I was like, that's not right. That's not how it's supposed to be, actually.
Yeah, that's
that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yes. Oh, I mean, look, I think we got in our head that we could master nature. And I'm going to let you know, we may need to rethink that. It is, some of you are not, especially if you are in Europe, y'all, you're not prepared. Americans have adapted by blowing cold air at us 24/7. Y'all are not ready.
We're raw dogging.
Yeah. I don't, bless you. Good luck.
Something, though, I saw so much weird grass fear mongering. I don't know if there's anything
fear mongering.
I'll expand. I don't know if there's anything to this really, but like a bunch of people started freaking out about the grass because it's been so we've had so little rain that the grass everywhere in England is just like bone dry, right? It's just brown. Mm-hmm. And grass. There's a reason that it's really hard to get rid of grass. It just kind of the second that it thinks it's going to die, it just kind of holds on to nutrients and just hibernates until it gets what it needs to come back, you know? So a bunch of people were like, oh my God, if we don't get any rain, the grass is going to stay like this forever. And in case you saw anything like that and you started to worry, after two rainfalls, all of our grass was green again on our property. So It's going to be okay. We do need more rain. I'm very glad for all of the rain. Didn't like every day getting alerts on my phone that said, please don't use the barbecue outside. We're worried it's going to start a fire. But it doesn't take much for grass to come back. It's a fighter, for better or for worse. It's very hardy. Yeah.
So. Thankfully, we aren't diverting water to anything stupid.
We're not.
All water is going to help us. No water is being diverted to anything dumb.
We're being really smart about our water usage, and it's all going towards helping the people who need it.
Right, exactly.
Wait, can I tell you a thing that's like depressing and funny, though?
Please, that's what this podcast is, really. So, yeah.
There was an older lady who was talking about how we hadn't had rain in a really long time. And I overheard her talking to somebody in the grocery store. And she was like, they were saying that potentially we're going to have to shut all the car washes off. And I was like, why do you sound so sad about that?
She loves a good car wash.
She's like, they're going to shut off the car washes, Mabel. How am I going to wash my car? Stupid.
She came directly from 1962. She teleported. She's like, oh no, I won't be able to wash the car.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Next thing you know, I won't be able to get a milkshake at the milkshake stand. Oh no, a nice brand new soda. Also, speaking of old people.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You know how you see young people who are like, excuse me, I have a query, like that level of like, online nerditring. And you wonder, okay, do they grow out of it? Why do you never see old people like that? Well, today I did. And it was glorious. Oh my God. Dodger, I went out to go get my drink that has a cap still on it.
Yes.
And I walk into a 7-Eleven. And as I'm in there, this guy walks in, clearly an American tourist, bless his sweet soul, walks in. And I swear to God, the first thing he says to me, walks in and he goes, bless heaven for 7-Eleven. And I was like, what? Right? And he looks around and he looks at, there's like a bunch of pastries. He goes, oh yeah, and he sees a bunch of pastries and goes, a baked Alaska. Now that is a pastry I would like to partake of. This man looks like he's 75. So already I'm like, they do exist.
Yay!
They do get old. Yeah, he's like, I would love to partake of a baked Alaska. And then he goes up to the counter. He's like, do you have any trays with which I might acquire a pastry? And the woman's like, yeah, the pastries. And he's like, I would like to, that and a black coffee, please. Large, but a medium in a large cup for I shall be walking. Man said, for I shall be walking, Dodger. And then the woman was like, oh no, you just go to the machine and you press the button and it does it for you. And he's like, acceptable. And he turns and goes back to the machine, turns, pushes all the buttons. And as he's sitting there waiting, I swear to you, he was humming the Legend of Zelda theme song. I was like, this guy,
I love him.
I want to be this man's. I was like, I want to be his friend. I know this guy is probably a trip. Yes. Yeah, I can't. I've never, you know, like, you think it's like, you see Gen Z kids doing like memes of it. Like, nah, yes. But you wonder what happened to those people because clearly they still exist.
Yeah.
And they do. And they're old now and they're lovely. And I was so pleased. He was like,
that's amazing.
Is it okay if I use a large cup and get a medium drink? And the woman was just like, yeah, it's fine, dude. You're the one paying for it. He's like, excellent. Okay. All right, bud. It was great. I love that guy.
Yeah. That's so great. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the elderly. They're lovely.
So are you able to discuss anything you've been playing or not really?
No, like I said, I mean, I did on my thing here, I played Tower Rush. I played a tower defense game, and that was, oh no, Kingdom Rush. Played that. Right. Pretty good at that. I have a lot of free time to Kingdom Rush. So that's, you know, if like a, what is it now? Like a 15-year-old game? Yep. That's me.
Can I talk to you about Zomboid then?
Ah, I saw you. I just want to let you know, some days I wonder if you and Sam actually talk, because I saw the two of you have like a, yeah, man, this is Zomboid situation. We don't even have a healer. And you're like, husband, I shall be the doctor. And then, yeah, that I assume that you went in there and saved everyone's ass is what I assumed happened.
No, because I finally... Okay, wait, let me back up. So I've never played Zomboid before. Recently, they did like a stability update. So there's a lot of renewed interest in playing. And Sam set up a huge server for creators that wanted to play together. That has like a bunch of mods and things. And so I will preface by saying I don't know what base Zomboid is like. I know the Zomboid difficult.
Was Kriken involved?
Involved in what way?
In playing.
I don't know.
I have a theory.
Played.
Damn. All right. I have a theory that Kriken only plays modded things. He will never play the base of anything. I'm convinced of this. I've never seen him play a non-modded game. I'm convinced he exists in a world where he doesn't know what any game actually is.
Right.
He only plays the weird version of it. All right. Anyway, I have a theory, but continue, please carry on.
Okay. So, the game it's an isometric view survival game, where a zombie outbreak has happened. And it's got a really robust crafting system inside of it, which makes sense for more of like a hardcore survival game.
Right.
So I made my character. Her name is Barbie Blunt. And she's from Wisconsin. And her husband, Bobby Blunt, well, he turned, and so she had to kill him. And now she's just making the best out of the apocalypse, you know. So when you're creating a character, the first thing that you choose is what area you're from, and it affects like one stat of yours. It's kind of like choosing a background in D&D.
Sure, yes.
So there are some places you can be from where it's like, oh, your carpentry is, you know, you have a boost to your carpentry or a boost to your foraging or agriculture or whatever. I chose one of them is like, it's really hard for you to get depressed. So I chose that one.
Good choice.
Yeah. And then it has you choose a job, and whatever job you choose affects like your skills. And then the next page is like strengths and weaknesses, basically. So you can take negatives in order to take more positives. So I decided that my character is out of breath easily. Right. So
in a game where you run from zombies, that's
exactly
great.
Yeah. So yeah. I took that so that I could then grab, you know, even better first aid and things, which was really good because I got into the game. And I will say, as fun as this game is, I understand why so many people are like, this is a fun game. The UI sucks ass. Because the way that you interact with things in the game is so unintuitive. And also, the melee system is really finicky to figure out. Everything is based on, if you imagine like a grid system, so when you're trying to highlight something, you can't just click it. You have to click like the square that it's standing on, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So a thing is coming towards you. You're right click aiming at it and you go to attack, but you're missing constantly. And let's say hypothetically you get lacerated 5 times and you're like, well, Barb is dead. And it was because I was aiming at the head and not aiming at the feet, at the spot on the grid, so to speak, where the zombie was standing, right? Once you start to think of the space in that way, it's a bit easier, but it is not intuitive to think of it that way at all.
Yes, you think you should be attacking the creature, but you're attacking the space.
Mm. Yes, yeah, exactly.
I played one time and that was my big takeaway and I hated it. Yeah,
it is hard to get the hang of. But fortunately, because I built a nurse and took even more first aid, I got hurt so many times and muscled through it all. I was able to first aid myself all the way back to full health somehow. So good job.
Were you in a group? Like, were you playing with the others?
No, I was by myself. Because they just plop you in. They just plop you in. But one of the things that Sam set up on the server was like a safe area. So there's like a part of the map that at the very beginning has like a big fence around it and no zombies in it. So it's basically like if you can get to this town, that there is a safe zone on the map that you can be at. So I was like, well, I'm learning how to play the game. So first time playing, if naturally I wind up in that town, great. But for now, I'm just going to kind of learn what the process of playing is like. And yeah, figuring out how to attack things and also how to interact with bags and like stuff that's on the floor. All of that stuff is really finicky and weird. And I'm sure at this point they have no intention of changing it. You know, people have been playing it for so long at this point and are so used to the system as it is. I doubt they're going to wind up changing anything about it.
I mean, it's a popular game. And I don't think, you know, the people that love it, love it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that there's a need to change for people that are like, well, I don't like it, you know? So yeah. Why bother? But I will say it's fascinating watching all the videos that are like, oh, this is my strategy for finding the best house. Finding the best weapons. I think that's super interesting, but I don't have the patience for it.
Yeah. It is very fun, though. It's kind of the same experience that I had with Vintage Story, where every time I saw people playing it, I was like, that looks so complicated. That just seems like too intense of a system for me to get the hang of. But I do think that I was talking about this yesterday on stream. I think the really good survival games have you pick a niche at the start, and in order for you to get really good at it, you have to dabble in other stuff, right? So from what I can tell, the easiest stat to build is foraging. It's like really easy to build your foraging skill. And something you can forage for is sticks. You can just pick up sticks. And then the game was like, oh, because you have first aid and foraging, you now know how to make a splint. And I was like, that's so cool, you know?
Yeah.
So it creates this interest in like, okay, if I want to know how to do this other thing, then I probably, like, I started dabbling in tailoring because I was like, well, that also makes sense if people are getting stitches and things. So yeah, the system that way and the way that it encourages you to like learn other stuff, I think is really effective. And I do like how deep the crafting system is. I just wish the UI made a bit more sense. So I'm getting the hang of it and I am enjoying playing a lot. It's been a long time since most of these sorts of servers that I go on, the RP is really light. It's very like everybody's basically themselves and maybe occasionally they throw on a goofy voice, right? Mm-hmm. But like this has been fun. Like everybody is fully in character. Everyone that I've interacted with is like, hello, this is me, you know? that's been fun.
That's, yeah, I love when people commit to the bit. So that's good. That's at least enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, that game falls in the same category for me as like EVE Online and like Ark and all those things where I could watch people play and enjoy people enjoying themselves, but I will never play them. I just won't. And every time I try, I'm like, yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah.
But I will love watching the clips. I will love watching the goofs. You can send me minutes at a time and I'll be like, wow, that looks great. Have fun. Like, but other than that, I try and it's just not for me.
Yeah. But to answer your question, the time when I play on the server, there aren't that many people on. And so Sam kept telling me all of these stories of people like getting shot and immediately dying because no one knew first aid. And I was like, okay, I'm going to log on at night. Right. I'm going to put my kid to bed. I have a free evening. I'm going to log on at night when apparently crazy shit is happening. I log on. Tell me why there were less people on at night than when I was playing earlier in the day. Nobody was on.
Streaming.
They were all playing other shit.
Yeah.
They were all playing other shit. I was like, okay, fine. Never mind.
Do you think you got hit with the, like this happens to me all the time, where friends will be playing a game and they're telling how much they love it and it's so much fun. And then I'll be like, cool, yeah, I'm coming. And by the time I join, they're like,
they're over it. I don't think
happens
that's what
all the time.
I think maybe to a certain extent, Sam's character just died. So I think he's kind of like, okay, you know, not interested in immediately coming back in. But I mean, the server had only been up for like 2 days. That seems
welcome to Twitch, baby.
That seems quick.
2 days is a long 2 days.
Have you played War Dogs? I can't remember if we've talked about War Dogs at all.
No.
I haven't played War Dogs either, but it's apparently
What is War Dogs?
It's okay. I'm going to try to pitch this game or like talk about this game, but again, I have not personally played it.
Okay.
It is a game where it's like team v team. You're at war, your team versus their team. And I guess it's unique because you can be any part of the like process of going to war, you can have that job. So like some people are literally just flying helicopters. Some people are like just sit on a mound with binoculars and spot people for snipers. Some people are medics. Some people legitimately just go to the front lines and shoot people. Oh, it's three teams. Sorry. Three teams against each other, apparently. And so the idea is that everybody is filling out different roles that are necessary.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
I can't see chat right now, sadly. I love you all, but I can't see you. is this the game? There was this guy who for a while was flooding my social media feeds where he was sitting in like his own rig in his home. But he was a helicopter pilot, and he would do stunt maneuvers as he dropped troops off into combat. And everyone was like, yo, this guy's amazing. Is that from that game? Is that what
probably.
That's from?
Probably. Oh, that's... no. They're saying
no.
That's Arma.
Oh, well, never mind.
Never mind.
I thought that would be cool. I'd be like, yo, that's a cool game. Never mind.
It's apparently very, very fun. You like each person starts off with a certain amount of money. And so you can outfit yourself with the things needed in order for you to start doing the job that you would like to do. And then as you play, as you like fulfill your job, you get more and more money to outfit yourself with better and better things. So like if your job is driving people to the front line, if they get there and stay alive for a certain amount of time, you get money. If they get there and they get killed, you get money for assisting them in getting to the front line, right? So like every job gains money in some way, however you are assisting with the war effort. Yeah, apparently it's insanely fun. And they've done a few like beta weekend sort of things. I don't know when the actual game is coming out, but a lot of the people that I know are at the point now where they're like, I'm not going to play this game anymore until it comes out, because otherwise I'm going to burn myself out on it.
That's, yeah. I would love a game that was like one of the best parts of playing Battlefield games was I would, you know, if needed, I would get my gun and run around and shoot stuff and take objectives. But most of the time, I would find whatever anti-air vehicle I could, go off into a corner of the map, hide and shoot all those assholes and planes and helicopters down. And yeah. I felt so good. And then I knew they'd come for me because they were pissed. So then I would hide outside of it and let it sit there. And then I'd snipe them as they like ran up trying to kill it. Oh, come on. That was so much fun. I loved that. I was like, I don't need to engage in your little war, for I shall have my own little war in the distance.
Yeah.
And it was, I love
that. People
are
saying it comes out on September 10th. So maybe you and I could try it out. We can try it out when it comes out.
Why is everything in September?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, God damn you, Grand Theft Auto. God damn you. Yeah.
Yucky. But yeah, I was just curious if you had played it or had it on your radar at all.
Honestly, I kind of, if I had the time and I knew what they all were, I always see clips of like war games where everyone's taking them really seriously, especially the ones where it's like, the 1800s and a bunch of dudes, and they look like they're in the English army or the French army. And there's a colonel, and he's like, brothers, together we've got to battle. And I was like, I would love to be part of that. I would love to be like, yes, yay. I would enjoy all of that. I would have a great time role-playing that. I'd be like, they shot me, Captain. Tell my mother.
Oh, there's also proximity VoIP. So you hear everybody.
Great.
Everybody around you doing their jobs. And I'm sure.
You know what?
Are peeing like
I would balls. Love. You know, every so often we have like a game we like create on this show.
Yeah.
I'd like, you know how there's sub warfare games or sub things. And there's like, I'm the navigator and I'm this. I want a game where you and your friends play on a sub. The sub is the server. Right.
Okay.
And some people have to be the cooks. Some people have to be like the captain or navigator or like the crewman or the, like, I want to play a sub game where I can just be a cook and I make food on a sub. I'm like, get your sloppy joes, you sloppy bastards. I would love that. I would have so much fun.
That's cute.
It would make me so happy.
So all of the players are on the sub. You're just trying to keep it going.
It's like a nuclear sub. We all are on the sub and we have to keep it afloat. Like the whole thing is we just keep it operational.
There's like a side scrolling version of that, I think.
People there are saying plenty that are like that.
No trauma.
Yeah. Except not trauma.
Right. No trauma. Just living. Just living on the sub.
Yeah, you're living on a nuclear sub and you have to keep the sub going. And it isn't it isn't going to be like, well, you didn't log in for a day, so everyone's dead. It's like, no. It's just a sub, but you live on the sub. It's like, imagine Grand Theft Auto roleplay, but you're just on a sub, right? And everyone's on a sub together. I think that'd be fun. It'd be cute.
Yeah, I like it. That's very cute.
Yeah, that's my dumb game idea for this week.
I love it. Hold on. Let me see. God, did I play anything else? I don't know if I played
anything.
I don't know if I played anything other than Zombies.
You didn't play Ledger Bound yet.
Ledger Bound yet. No, that's true. And chat still has been like, waiting. When are you playing? When are you playing Ledger Bound?
Get him, chat.
Yep. No, I've only played Zomboid this week. I am, full disclosure, sponsored, but I am today playing the Final Fantasy Resonance demo. I don't know if you played that yet.
They reached out to me and I was like, guys, I'll be out.
I'm gone.
Like, I know. And they were like, it's all right. You'll end up playing it anyway, bitch. They didn't say that, but they knew. They knew what was going to happen. Literally, Dodger, as far as I'm aware, that game is straight up Brave Exvius, which is the mobile game that I played. My hope is Ariana Grande continues to be in this. I know she won't, but I want her to be because she was a key member of my party.
Right.
Literally. Yeah, like it has its own story and you just get characters. And honestly, all the reviews I've seen so far, people are extra hype on it. I saw one review today and I was like, okay. It literally was like, finally, Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy again. I was like, okay. All right.
Yeah, okay. That is definitely the pitch that they're going for is like, it's HD 2D return to form old school Final Fantasy, you know.
Okay. And like,
it looks good. It looks good.
It'll be fun. It'll be a blast.
You can play the whole first chapter in the demo, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know how much content that is, but
it'll be a treat. I mean, there's a reason I played it when it was on. It was one of the like five mobile games I've ever played over the course of my entire life. So like, it'll be a treat to play.
Yeah. It'd be fun. I'll be doing that a bit after this. But otherwise, it's just been Zomboid, man. Zomboid and Overwatch. I'm still Overwatching.
Yeah, I heard you and Craigan talk about Overwatch. Bless your sweet soul. They got you. They pulled you back in. Honestly, the amount of people that have been asking if I'm going to BlizzCon this year is very high. I was shocked. I was like, guys, I'm out. Like, there's not a Blizzard game that I'm playing right now that I care about.
I left.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I'm interested in things, right? Obviously, sure. I still love the butts in Overwatch, and I still love the lore in WoW, right? And I still have the Diablo Collector's Edition thing because that's where I store Satan. But other than that, like, I don't really, I'm not really, you know, in the universe of Blizzard. But with that said, if they were to drop, like, guys, we're working on a new MMO, and it's going to be good. I'd show up in a heartbeat. Like, I'm no fool. I would, you know, I want to play something new and fun. We'll see. But I have no idea what BlizzCon's going to be. But as far as I can tell, it looks like it's going to be a bunch of, like, they got one panel that's, why is The Witcher on Battle.net? It literally is probably the panel. They have one panel that's like, we brought Matt Mercer back. So I feel like it's going to be one of those BlizzCons where they don't necessarily have a lot to share.
Are they doing the like Overwatch themed D&D thing at BlizzCon?
Yes. That's what I meant. Yeah. Guys, Mercer's going to be here though. They had one night, they have like a kind of funny podcast segment. I'm like, okay, all right. Okay, you guys don't have an awful lot to share, actually. All right.
Right.
Understood. I've been to those BlizzCons. I know it. When I was talking with Noble, I was like, what could they possibly, they aren't done with they're at the halfway point of the current expansion. And the current expansion, they've been selling as like, it's going to get real dark and real awful, guys. But it clearly isn't right now. Right. So unless they're going to start spoiling what's going to happen in this expansion, how are they going to promote the next expansion? Like, they clearly are going to talk about the future of WoW. They're talking about it. They have two panels on it. I'm just like,
I don't know.
So I am interested.
People think something's going on with StarCraft. Do you know why that is?
No. I mean, I might just be
speculating.
If they made a StarCraft MMO or StarCraft like anything, like a shooter or something, I would. Blizzard be doing this for years. If they made a Warhammer like Space Marine 40K, but for StarCraft, I'd play the shit out of that.
That would be hard.
So hype. Yeah. So I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see what they do.
Oh, chat saying the StarCraft website got some new glitchy effects. There's a StarCraft something coming, maybe.
Cool. I don't recall seeing a lot of StarCraft on the schedule, though.
I guess
maybe it'll be during the opening ceremony and they'll do a little tease. I'll definitely watch that on stream. Like, I'll watch the opening because that'll be, you know, that'll be something to watch and talk about. I'll listen to Metzen try to seduce me back into WoW and I'll be like, no, I've never been more happy. After talking with Noble, I've never been more happy not to be seduced by Metzen to play WoW. I was like, it sounds like exactly why I left. So, like, cool, man. I am okay.
Yeah, I guess people can just go watch it, huh? Jesse did a Tell Me About that was entirely about new WoW lore.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I quit 2-3 expansions ago. And since that time, I was just curious what was going on. And I asked, and they like caught me up on stuff. And what I discovered is Blizzard has, I hope, for the sake of all the players, that there's a payoff to it. But they have a thing they keep doing where a villain is like, ah, yes, my evil plan. Oh, no, you defeated me. Oh, no, I've been sucked into a void by something. They keep having villains get sucked into voids. And so you can't beat them. They just get sucked in. So I hope that is a payoff in some way. That happens a lot. Characters are like, and I will return. And then they don't. That happens a lot. And I think, and also it seems like, you know, I was talking with him and the way they're doing this arc, this like 3-game arc, feels a lot like the way Final Fantasy did Dawn Trail, where they're trying to speed run a story and like blow through it. And so a lot of the plot of things that have been cooking for years, they're wrapping up, but quickly. And so I,
not in like a, you know, I tried to ask him.
Yeah. And I kept trying to ask him like, so why though? Why feel the need to wrap it up? And I don't know that he has an answer. I don't know that anyone has an answer. I was like, are they trying to end a thing and then say, we're going to do a reboot or we're going to wrap up this story so we don't have to deal with it anymore? Like, it seems like they're going to a place, but I don't think anyone knows what that place is. So hopefully BlizzCon will tell people, because even the main villain, as far as I can tell, no one knows why she's doing what she's doing. Or at least what her plan is. But again, then he'll tell me stuff about like a zone story. I'm like, yo, that sounds awesome. Which is unfortunately the case with most WoW stuff, where like the individual zones are phenomenal. And then the overarching story is like a complete mess because they've got, you know, 25 years of stuff to deal with. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's exactly. It
seems roughly the same like it's always been, which there's a little spark of hope in me that if them wrapping up all the storylines means They're going to like not reboot, but like we're going to start a new story. We're going to start from zero and we're going to start. I would be very much interested in that. Mm-hmm. Not having to care about anything else, but there's no way they'd do that. So like, I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see. But I learned a lot and a lot of it seemed really cool and a lot of it seemed very silly. And that's kind of Warcraft. So, you know, it was good times.
Yeah. So go watch the Tell Me About, guys.
It's 2 hours long. Oh, and I realized that just watch the first 30 seconds. I had a revelation of what the map of Warcraft kind of looks like. And I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yep. Well, shall we move on to news?
Yes, let's. I'm going to try my hardest to do it with this little screen here. Okay. Starting in November, Microsoft, who is clearly trying to out and shitify Sony at every level, has announced it's introducing monthly time limits on Xbox Cloud Gaming. What is cloud gaming for Game Pass subscribers? Capping usage at 15 hours per month for Ultimate members, 10 hours for Premium, and 5 hours for Essential. Microsoft, who implemented this cloud gaming thing because they were like, hey, cloud gaming, it's here, are now like, don't use it, basically because they're saying cloud infrastructure costs too much money and unlimited streaming, which is the whole thing they said they were going to do, is unsustainable.
Yeah, and so, no shit.
Yeah. But hilariously, they expect the caps to directly impact about 4% of subscribers. So that shows you how many people actually, again, figured out what cloud gaming was. Players who exceed their allotted time get to purchase more time they want. And there's also a pay-as-you-go plan because nickel and dime everyone. That's how you do it. Cool. And then, interestingly enough, in the world of what are we thinking? Internet game teams. Despite Star Wars Zero Company receiving widespread critical acclaim, showing strong sales, Bitreactor, the developer, furloughed 80% of its staff a few weeks ago prior to the release due to dwindling funds. They kept a skeleton crew on to get rid of the bugs and things like that for launch. And anyone who was removed from the payroll. And they don't know what's going to happen. They're not even certain if they're going to get their jobs back. Bitreactor confirmed it made the decision before knowing how the game would perform. And they just, you know, corporate, man. Corporate decided they need to save some bucks. So that's what they did.
That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. So the game wasn't even out yet, but they're like, thanks for your hard work. We don't need you anymore. Which, by the way, I've been there. There have been some jobs where I've busted my ass for a job, and then they were like, great, thank you. You're no longer needed. You did the work. And that sucks. That hurts the most of all. So
yeah, that really all those sucks.
Devs, yeah, wishing them the best. Then, for those of you who do have money and you're a fan of Final Fantasy VII, we learned the finale of Final Fantasy VII Remake. The whole series there will be on April 8th of next year. And to celebrate, Square Enix has announced a Japan-exclusive Final Fantasy VII Remake Series Complete Edition that's roughly $500, but for the goof of Final Fantasy and the reason why it's in Japan, it's 77,777 yen, which is a big Final Fantasy goof. It's available in limited quantities through the Japanese Square Enix store, and it is a huge bundle. It has all three games in the trilogy. In addition to the games, they have individual steelcase books, a display stand with dummy discs, so you can display it as like, these are the three games. It has, you know, a Polygon Cloud keychain. It has a statue that's sort of like a Parcheesi looking Cloud, Zack, and Sephiroth sort of back-to-back on a little stand base. Got an art book. It's got a soundtrack. It's got the expansion pack. It's a bunch of stuff, and it's only available in Japan. So if you have money, feel free to import it. Good luck. It'll cost a ton.
Right.
Then yeah,
the import fees, I can't even imagine.
It'll be insane. Like, good luck. We learned that Until Dawn 2 is coming up next year. I believe they said January 28th, 2027. And the big news was that the classic horror game that I swear to God, it feels like every horror franchise is trying to chase the vibe off is coming back, and it's got Dispatches Ad Hoc working on it now.
Oh, interesting.
And so how that will translate, what exactly it is they're doing at this point in the game, I don't know. But they very clearly have a pedigree now and a sparkle and shine that people are like, add them to our games because they clearly know what they're doing. They have a lot of like Telltale devs. We, you know, on one of your weeks out, I had a lovely conversation with one of the Ad Hoc guys. Yeah, I'm curious to see if they can capture lightning in a bottle again. We've seen all those dark picture games, things of that nature, really try to do the same thing, but none of them quite land like Until Dawn did.
Until Dawn, at the time when it came out, was so unique feeling.
It was very lightning in a bottle, and I think people keep trying to capture that. There's a lot of like choice-based story horror games these days.
I mean,
and none of them really hit the mark.
It's like when Telltale released Walking Dead, and everybody was like, holy, this is so unique and interesting. It was kind of the same vibe. And now they're
even Telltale had trouble like recapturing that. It's tough. Sometimes you just have an amazing idea. It happens. So, yeah. Speaking of amazing ideas that I clearly don't understand because I'm a fool, as we've discussed many times, never doubt that gamers are hungry for something new. Anything new, especially in a franchise they love. Like we said last week, the Netflix GTA 6 extended look was coming. It got 31 million views on Netflix. Top charts in nearly every country. And you know it was a hit because Netflix rarely shows numbers. They rarely tell you how many people watch whatever. So the fact they did, and it doesn't include the millions that watched on YouTube. Yeah. And I just want to say for the record, as always, last week I was like, if you're going to get the game, why do you need to watch? Like, why would you even care? Well, that was the cynical old shit in me, clearly underestimating gamers once again. People are hyped for stuff and they like being hyped for it, and they will watch stuff they're hyped for. And the amount of people that came out the other side that were like, yes, is here's something I learned for sure. In the run-up to this, the amount of people on the internet that were like, ugh, a girl? I have to play a girl? Was so hot. And then on the other side of this preview, the amount of people that are like, that's my wifey, bro. It's fascinating to watch. So I think it's pretty interesting. And I was like, all right, that's cool. Who knew? Once again, completely wrong. Then my favorite story of the week, in keeping with the incredible work Japanese game company PR teams do.
Yeah.
According to the Sonic team, Sonic in Fortnite is permitted to wield a gun because the character player's control is actually an Android version of Sonic rather than the real Sonic, because Sega maintains the real Sonic would never hold a weapon. Sure. This is an in-universe robotic duplicate allowing them to bypass the fact that Sonic does not use guns. Yes.
So this robot duplicate of Sonic is different from Mecha Sonic, correct?
It looks like Sonic. It acts like Sonic. It is Sonic, except not. Because as you know, to make him fit into the Fortnite universe, he must have longer legs and a standard run speed and the ability to swim, which Sonic does not have.
That's true.
That's why he's a different character. And you should not associate this Sonic with any Sonics who use guns.
Okay.
Because no Sonic uses a gun, only Shadow. And
I was
going to
say, why don't they just put Shadow in there? Just put Shadow
because
in Fortnite.
If anything, the real question that we should be asking is this a secret Robotnik plan?
Think so about true. It. Why are we making more robot Sonics?
Why are there more robotic Sonics? That's a great
question.
Who's
doing that? I think we all know.
What is old Eggman up to? These are the questions we should be asking. Then we have releases on the 7th. Halloween the game comes out. Stealth, it's horror, it's survival, it's Halloween. Apparently there's a single player and multiplayer modes. So that's interesting. I hope the single player mode is fun. I don't know that I'll do multiplayer, but that sounds neat. Then on the 8th, oh boy, the most Dodger-ass game I think that's ever existed.
Yes.
It's called Cat Me If You Can. It's a game where you explore handcrafted black and white worlds and search for hidden cats to photograph, and then that brings color back into the world.
Great.
Yep. That is a Dodger game if I've ever seen one. Then on the 10th, Hot Wheels Infinite Rush. Hot Wheels once again leading the way with 4 Hot Wheels-sized islands to explore.
Yes, okay.
With challenges and,
the carpet of my bedroom.
Free roam. Yeah, yeah. It's got free roam, and you can smash obstacles and find secrets and stuff. To me, it read as we really liked what they did with the new Mario Kart game, so we want to do that with Hot Wheels. That's the vibe I got.
Question.
Yours?
Has a Hot Wheels game ever been made where the environment you drive in is bedrooms?
I have to imagine yes.
That has to exist.
There's got
to
be Hot Wheels games where you assemble a map or whatever. They have to. Because Hot Wheels leads the way. I don't think you understand.
Hot Wheels leads the way.
Leading the way. Yeah, come on now. That's anyway. Right up there. That's right up. Yeah.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
The classic jingles. Then on the 10th, again, is Broken Lore Don't Lie. This is the newest and the first person Japanese psychological horror game series for Broken Lore. They have like games named like Don't Play, Don't Watch, and you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It's a standalone, so you don't have to have played the other ones. And they do have like a through line to them, but it's not a, you know, it's not like a you need to know kind of thing. It's very much like Rusty Lake stuff. But if you like the previous games, I'm sure you'll like this one. It's about a young woman. It's about, you know, it's a horror game. So it's a young woman trapped in her trauma, and I'm sure the end will be like, it was your parents. Something like that. Like, there's going to be, you know, horror game. And then on the 11th, NHL 27. It's hockey. It's EA Sports. It's in the game. You get it. It's the literal 36th version of this game.
Yeah.
So you know what you're getting. It's NHL 27. And that is what's coming this week.
Yay!
A seal of approval. No, that's a round of applause.
A round of applause.
A seal of approval is or right.
Or.
Sorry, my dad jokes are. I'm getting too old. I need grandfather jokes now.
You were up until 4 a.m. It's not your fault.
You're right.
It's Mathis's fault.
Can I tell you? I forgot that. As I was reading this, I was like, why am I slurring words?
Why am I not able to read this? It's because of Mathis, and he should feel bad.
Yeah. And I you know what? He should feel bad. Yeah.
Well, moving on into outros. When are you going to be home, buddy? Are you still gone for a while?
This weekend. I'll be home this weekend. Expect some more stuff across the board for me. If you did not listen to it, the live show for Cox and Crendor, everyone, I've been getting messages about how much they loved it. You can go listen to the most recent episode of Cox and Crendor, the live show. It's a treat. Hopefully you enjoy. We got Octo. We did a goof where Crendor and I obsessed with this guy who is like the number one hot dog eater in the world. And he has an intro that is so over the top for hot dogs. He's the guy who's like, from the shots of fallen angels, like that guy.
Yeah.
So we had Octo recreate one of those using recommendations from the audience for our intro. Just go listen to the first 5 seconds of that. It's incredible. It's beautiful. I'm so pleased. So more of that. And then when I get back, I think the plan is I'm going to jump into Dawnwalker and play a bunch of that and try to do as much as I can. My girl Anka is waiting for me. I love you, Anka. Rip queen. You're the best. And then there's just a bunch of stuff coming out that I would want to jump into and play and get back to. There's a few games I started that I'd love to just get done. So yeah, the slog begins. It is full on super slog time. And then wrapping up, hopefully, the last bit of this control video, which is coming along nicely. I want to say, friend of the pod, Ashley Roboto did a bit for us, and it is
amazing.
It's like an episode of one of those like internet creepypasta videos.
I love it.
Great. It's going to be so much fun. So a lot of cool stuff is coming with that. Yeah. We're working hard.
That's so cute. Well, for me, my kid's back in school now, so I'm back to like a normal schedule, normal length of streams. Directly after this, I'm going to be playing some Zomboid, and then, like I was saying, doing some Final Fantasy Resonance sponsored. So doing both of those directly after stream. That's not helpful to those of you who are VOD watchers or podcast listeners, but, you know, it's whatever. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing next week. So you're just going to have to come by and find out, I guess. But I will be here, and I will be streaming normally.
But I will be here. So, but I will be here.
I will be here, and that is a threat. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Hey, if you enjoyed watching this today, listening to it, however you ingest it, you can find all of the VODs of the previous Geekenderses on youtube.com/JesseCox. We are also on all of the podcasting apps and sites, and we would love your support in whatever way you would like to give it. But otherwise, it sounds like we'll be back to normal time next week. So we will see you guys next Friday. Have an amazing weekend and a beginning to your week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Boop.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.